of Tuesday the 8th, but not a penny to open a car park, a campground, or a 24-hour bathroom. They will pass an urgency measure regarding card rooms and tables. That's item 32 on the evening agenda, right after they dispense with the whole homeless issue, item 31. But they see no need for urgency measures to restore shelter or the right to sleep. Urgency measures, for those who don't know, are emergency measures that can be done and passed in one council meeting. Like, let's say, repealing the blanket ban and sleeping ban. That could be brought up as an urgency measure, and it could be voted 4-3. Now, it wouldn't pass unless it had a fifth vote. But wouldn't Mike Rotkin look like an asshole by voting in favor of a law that makes it illegal to sleep and illegal to cover up with blankets? And wouldn't that make it likely that the council would hold another session and then could pass the blanket bans and the sleeping bans, repealing them, at a regular session? I would say so. And I wonder what your view is on that. I'm, again, hoping to get you to call in at 427-3772. Continuing with this flyer that I wrote when I was in a sort of a hot rage after reading this item 31, this cop-out item that the council is going to have in front of us on Tuesday. They ignore a November 10th report that there is no shelter for 80% of the homeless in winter, and yet they ask for more reports on shelter services, church surveys, and armory spaces. They offer surveys, reports, and studies in place of action, which duplicate and ignore what they have already been told. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, Robert, it's Kitten. Hey. Okay, this is what I'm willing to do. One night, downtown, in my nightgown and my underwear, with my teddy bear, sleeping bag sitting by, but that's all. I will do one night, uncovered, unblanketed, pick the night.
Well,
I can't necessarily do the protesting I used to do due to probation, but I can do some. It's not illegal to sit downtown
it's
in your nightgown.
That's true.
All night long.
It's even not illegal to be bare-breasted downtown if you're a woman.
Well, I happen to know that one for sure.
Yeah, from personal experience, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I think doing that during the day would be much more effective, because that's when people are actually shopping, and that's when people, when the tourists are there, and that's when the merchants would have most concern that the issue would reach the people. The problem with doing it at night is that no one's around. But, I mean, I think any kind of protest is always a positive thing, provided you don't threaten your own health, of course.
Well, let's see. Today's Sunday. Lots of people are shopping, right?
They are, yeah.
Well, where are you tabling today?
I will be tabling in front of New Leaf Market.
I'll tell you what, I'll be across the street in my nightgown with my teddy bear, nothing else, just my nightie, and in front of the cookie company.
Well, don't let anyone get your cookies in that situation.
Let's hope somebody buys me a cookie, munchies.
Yep. Well, you could always solicit, but be sure you're at least 3 feet, because it's illegal otherwise.
This is true. What time are you tabling?
We'll start tabling around 3.
Okay, see ya.
All right.
Well, that's one caller, a homeless woman who wishes to make a statement on that issue. 3 o'clock, I'll be tabling downtown in front of the New Leaf Market, trying to alert the populace. Maybe we'll do a little marching around town with Christmas caroling. Who knows? We can get some carols together. Again, I'd like to announce the Christmas caroling contest. For those of you who want to try your hand at it, take a traditional tune, you know, it can be Jingle Bells, it can be Good King Wenceslas, it can be Silent Night, and put some new lyrics to it that talk about Santa Cruz, and we're going to give you the best entry. In fact, almost any entry we use will be considered one of the better entries, and we will give you 10 back issues of that fine publication, which will of course be worth many thousands of dollars in the years to come, the Street Shit Sheet, the homeless newsletter. So give us a call at 423-HUFF, that's after the show, or call on air if you want to sing your carol at 427-3772, and certainly show up at City Council on Tuesday night at 6:30 for some hot soup, followed by some hot talk to a council that seems to have a rather cold side that nobody anticipated. Meanwhile, you can call in here at 427-3772. That's our hotline. I'm reading again from a flyer I wrote called "A Council That Promised Us Compassion Serves Us a Sham That Shames the City." And it reads They authorized the police to use wake-up-and-move warnings that sleeping is illegal, simply ratifying the SCPD lie that they ticket only on complaint. They postpone any action to restore human rights to the poor until February, while the homeless hide and freeze in unsafe, illegal places outside. Come to City Council Tuesday, December 8th, 7 p.m., with blankets, sleeping bags, signs, and solidarity to sleep in for justice. Challenge the downtown merchant reactionaries who have frozen the city council into silence. Start a season-long boycott against bigotry and daily demonstrations against the shame of the sleeping ban downtown to tell shoppers where their dollars are going. Protest the sleeping ban Saturday, December 12th, 4 p.m. at the town clock. That, again, was the Steve Argue solidarity demonstration, where that will be a protest against illegal attacks on the right to free speech and to demand that the Santa Cruz government restore the First Amendment constitutional guarantee of free speech, end police brutality, and end laws making it illegal for the homeless to sleep. Stop the deadly double talk. Call council at 429-3550, then the pound key. Before you go to bed tonight, check out the weather the homeless will be facing at 457-9754, extension 222. And if you miss any of these numbers, by the way, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will let you have them later. Then call city council and join the City of Shame protest downtown. That's half the flyer. The other half the flyer is this. This is it, referring to the item 31. Santa Cruz has an unconstitutional sleeping ban, freezing winter weather, and an inadequate shelter space every night. City Council needs to decriminalize sleeping and covering up with blankets and to open up a campground and car parks. Instead, we get a bone for the business community. Another monthly report on shelter services and countywide beds available, when the city already knows from its own service providers that there are less than 200 emergency beds for 500 to 1,500 city and 3,000 to 5,000 county homeless. Another survey of churches to see if they'll open their parking lots, when only 3 vehicles are legally allowed per lot and less than a handful offer even that to hundreds of homeless who live in their cars and face tickets and tows. Another staff report on improving transportation options to the armory, where floor space is already scarce, where couples, those with pets, vets with problems, drunks, unaccompanied youth, and many others are already excluded, no matter how the transportation situation is. Another delay until February to study the sleeping ban, when the community and even the merchants expected the council to end the sleeping and blanket bans before winter to restore human rights to the poor. Another rubber stamp of police policy that violates human rights nightly, when reasonable warnings and enforcement on complaint of the sleeping ban is already what police say they are doing, as they fine with $160 tickets and drive off hundreds more. Another monthly report on enforcement, when police already issue these discredited statistics to justify keeping their pet law for getting rid of undesirables with no public review or independent check. 61% of the voters believed the new council's promises that they would end the shame of the sleeping ban. Santa Cruz or Santa Cruel? And that's the flyer that I turned out. And I encourage you to comment on at 427-3772, our Free Radio Santa Cruz hotline here, or at least hot for the moment, as you call in to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on the air and giving you nonstop talk about the sleeping ban. So, you know, Santa Cruz isn't the only city that is talking about the sleeping ban. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to continue a tape that I started last Thursday, from Santa Barbara, in which a man named Boone put on the agenda in Santa Barbara an item asking for repeal of certain sleeping ban laws down there, similar to our own, not quite identical. And he gave a wonderful speech, most of which I played last session of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. And now we're going to hear some more of it. However, if anyone calls in, I'm going to interrupt this tape because I want to have your comments first. Frankly, I think we really need to know how you feel about this. We need you to call your friends to tell them to call the City Council today, 429-3550, pound key. Put the sleeping and blanket bans back on the agenda, and they can do it. They can have special sessions. They don't have to wait. They can amend this crock of crap that the staff churned out on Tuesday night. They can do that. Tell them this is anywhere near enough. This is counterproductive. 429-3550, pound key. Give them a call, and then pack up your blankets and head for City Council 6:30 on Tuesday. In the meantime, give us a call at 427-3772.
I ask you to consider the harmlessness of sleep. What is the offense? Where's the victim? It carries a misdemeanor fine, I believe. I'm told a $75 fine with a $125 victim fee. It's a $125 victim fee because it's a misdemeanor. But the city doesn't have to produce the victim. Fact is, the victim is the guy that woke up and got a ticket. There's concern about related offenses associated with homeless and sleeping. Issues such as littering, trespassing, disorderly conduct, illegal fires, etc. We have laws for these issues, and those are the ones to enforce, not sleeping. These fears are not a reason to make sleeping illegal. I ask you to consider the vulnerability of the sleeper. I know that's one concern. And that was a reason that was suggested for having it illegal to sleep outside. But the homeless people are asking, please take your laws off our bodies. It's dangerous to drive an automobile. It's dangerous to skydive. We don't make these things illegal. There's safety in numbers in the park. These laws cause people, consider the homeless woman who just maybe left after a beating from her husband and she got sick and she goes running out of the house with a pillow and a blanket at 10 o'clock at night. She wants to sleep in the park in the light. Wouldn't it be nice if there were other people around there too to create a little bit more security than having to hide in the bushes so she doesn't get a ticket? Consider the effects of these laws, hiding in unlit places to sleep. Poor sleep for fear of the law. Consider this image. An alcoholic homeless person has been drinking in the evening and he crashes in a park under a tree. Several hours later, an officer comes along and wakes him up. Full of anger, probably a little hostility there, maybe. And he gives him a ticket and tells him, you can't sleep here. You can't stay here. You got to go somewhere else. So now what we have is an awake, drunk, half hungover, no money in his pocket, wandering around, can't think of anything but finding another drink. Who is more apt to commit the crime? The officer, the drunk that just was awakened by the policeman and given a ticket, or the one that was left there peacefully sleeping? It feels to most of us homeless like harassment. It promotes anger toward the police and the system. It increases the feelings of isolation from the society. I think something that upsets all of us that we see from time to time is a homeless person walking down the street raging. You've seen him before. God damn this and F this. And we've all seen that person. It makes us all cringe. It's yelling obscenities. Do you think that the effects of these laws might contribute to his behavior? That the hate and the disdain that he feels might contribute? 30-40% of the homeless are emotionally and or mentally unstable. They need love. They don't need disdain. Why do these laws exist? From the view of the homeless, some consider that it's about money. Most people in Santa Barbara pay a property tax or a rental tax or a hotel tax, or they pay... what can we do about the homeless? They can pay a fine. It feels to many like a hate crime against the homeless, these laws. It feels like a tool for the purpose of harassment. There's a couple of hundred offenses nightly. I'm sure there's at least 100 people a night in Santa Barbara that are sleeping in their cars, and there's another 100 that are sleeping around in bushes and at the beach and places. It feels to us like random
or and or selective enforcement, you don't really know when he's going to come wake you. And that promotes fear. There was an experiment with mice done where they took some mice and they shocked them. And they just shocked them at random intervals. And they had some other mice that there's a light bulb that came on first, and then they got the shock. Every time they got the warning of the light first. The ones with the light, they got accustomed to it because they knew it was coming. They could prepare for it. The ones that got it randomly just went nuts. They were fighting and attacking each other. They were totally stressed out. They got diseases. There's been experiments with sleep deprivation too, and what that does. Similar results. It creates stress. I was talking earlier to a psychologist who is actually with your Department of Social Services, and he talked about some of the effects of stress, not just on the physical body, but on the demeanor of the person. I think you already know what these symptoms are. So, think about the homeless person angrily yelling obscenities down the street. Maybe there's some things that our system is doing to provoke that. I also consider the view of the city. It's a beautiful city, and tourism is very important to the city. And again, I offer myself to help resolve any issues that come up as a result of revoking these laws. I feel like I've got some responsibility. But I'm asking for some compassion. Compassion for the battered housewife. Compassion for all the homeless that don't fit your fearful stereotype. There's many of us. How many people in Santa Barbara are one paycheck away from being homeless? What about the Vietnam vet? What about the religious or spiritual person that's just seeking non-attachment? Just wanting to sleep under the stars. There's a lot of people just want to sleep under the stars. Will you allow this? Kids who grew up unloved, molested, or other abuses, the street's full of them, and a lot of emotionally unstable. I'm asking for compassion for these people. They don't all fit your stereotype. Let us please begin the healing process by restoring the right to sleep. We all make mistakes. It was a mistake to make these laws in an attempt to solve the homeless problem. The problem is in the polarities. It's in the separation. The separation comes from judgment. Let's open our hearts. I forgive you for having so much more material wealth than I do. Will you forgive me for my freedom? Will you allow it? Will you allow me to be, to move, to rest, to eat, and to defecate? A winter shelter offers more than my rights. It offers compassion. And I thank you for your efforts there. But may I have my rights too? Thank you in advance for revoking these anti-sleeping ordinances.
Thank you, Captain Glaus.
And that was Boone about a month ago presenting to the Santa Barbara City Council his request that the sleeping ban in Santa Barbara be rescinded and set aside. The vote was not in favor. The vote was against him 5-2. However, he did persuade two council members to take the matter into committee, and I haven't heard what's resulted from that. We are going to play more of this tape at a future time. You can hear Captain Glaus give his response. He's the police official involved. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Ever vigilant, Robert North.
Ah, sounds like Bob LaMonica to me.
Robert, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I thought I would pull a couple of quotes from the Bible that I think are on the mark, because I think what's needed in this issue, and I want to follow Linda LeMaster on this, is there's a general contempt for the poor in the 90s, and I think a lot of it is regards that many of us don't have a context. We don't understand this issue other than from a fear perspective that we're going to be infringed upon.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a key human value. Just a couple of things here from the Bible. This one's from Proverbs 14:20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends.
Mm-hmm.
One more here. The righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. That's Proverbs 29:7. And of course, Jesus, one of his classic comments is, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So this is a consistent thread, not just in Christianity, but in any religion, any righteous religion, that teaches respect for those that have less in the material realm. I think the problem, once again, is that many of us don't have a context to understand this issue. We don't know what it would be like to not have a safety net, an independent safety net. We cannot imagine what it would be like to not have something to fall back on. So our response is contempt for the poor. And it is amazing in our generation, in our time, that this issue has developed to the degree that it has. And the lack of compassion has developed along with it.
I have to agree with you, Bob. Again, I'm the chorus. Amen. Amen. I know that I got some interesting words that I hear our producer has reached two city council members and that they may be listening to the show. And if so, I think they're getting a good earful of why we really need action on the 8th on the real core issue of sleeping ban and blanket ban, not some kind of stall or token gesture or survey or expression of goodwill.
I'll put this in the mix, Robert. There is, I think, a sincere perspective in regards to property rights that needs to be brought above board in this regard. People are afraid, in some cases, of their property rights being infringed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not necessarily insincere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think by the degrees that this issue can be brought above board politely and diplomatically, solutions will be found.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there are models that Santa Cruz can base changes on. Eugene, Oregon has repealed its sleeping ban and has set aside certain areas in the community where people can park their cars without being harassed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are solutions to this. I think a lot of it is just the general looking at the issue of material need and the fact that we're not all born wealthy. We're not all born into situations where we can develop a adequate nest egg to see us through life.
Right.
And what do? Do we just cast them away and develop a contempt for the poor? And what does that do to our whole sense of who we are as a society? So to me, this is one of the key issues facing humanity. It's the issue of exploitation, really.
Mm-hmm.
How dare we?
How dare we?
As we become more and more comfortable. And these things are great. I mean, computers and cars, as far as I'm concerned. Electricity, nothing wrong with chairs, nothing wrong with this stuff. But by the degree that you have security, material security, in my opinion at least, you're obligated to do outreach for those that don't. And in some cases, it means being a little bit flexible to allow for other than one's own dress style, point of view, to be expressed.
Definitely. I thank you, Bob.
Robert, I thank you and everyone that has persisted in their honorable attempts to raise this very righteous issue.
Thank you, Bob, and I hope I can see you at City Council on Tuesday night.
Robert, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And you're still with us on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That was Bob LaMonica, who has been fighting for years to force the DA's office to get righteous. boy, that's seems like an even bigger job. Ironically, the DA is not really involved in this issue. The sleeping ban is a city issue. City attorney's office and the police do all the prosecuting of these tickets, all the harassing. It's true the sheriffs do harass people in the county, but they don't have the city law to back them up. They just have the threat of their force and the fear that they exhibit, they induce through their being there. They persuade people that it's illegal to sleep in vehicles even when it's not in the county. However, it's the city that has this, dare I say it, sinful law. There's a word I very rarely use. We've been talking about the upcoming city council meetings, item 31, which would, at the 7 p.m. session, supposedly be addressing this issue of sleeping without addressing it at all, of course, and simply saying, wait until February till we get back. In the meantime, we are directing, wherever reasonable and practicable, warnings rather than citations shall be issued by city enforcement personnel. Also, the enforcement of camping violations shall emphasize responses to citizen complaints. That is, as I pointed out, completely inadequate relief for a number of reasons. The police department is going to do nothing different than what it does now, where they already say they're enforcing on complaint, and they already say they're warning people. Unless there is a clear statement by the city council that sleeping cannot and shall not be a crime in Santa Cruz, and while we are not specifically legislating for it at this particular session, it is our clear intention to do so at the earliest possible opportunity. And during that time, we are directing the police not to give out tickets for blankets or sleeping insofar as we can. We urge the police not to waste its money doing this. We direct that there shall be weekly review of any kind of contacts between homeless people that are made, these contacts in terms of sleeping and, I should say, any kind regarding the sleeping and blanket bans shall be sent within 3 days to this committee, which shall have on it a council member, a police officer, homeless activists, homeless people, and shall meet out with public meetings every week so that individuals who have been harassed by the police can come to these meetings and make their complaints and concerns known. There shall further be a freeze on all prosecutions under the sleeping ban and blanket bans. We shall direct the city attorney to freeze these prosecutions. Furthermore, there shall be no tickets issued except on health or safety complaints, no warnings given except on health and safety complaints by bona fide complainers. That is to say, bona fide complainants, people who actually have a real interest, not just somebody who wants to run around harassing homeless people. Because there's a law that says you can. Thank you, Mike Rotkin. We shall acknowledge that there is an urgent shelter crisis and that it is both stupid, inhumane, and vicious to harass people and say, go sleep somewhere else when there is nowhere else to sleep that is legal. Even the county where it is technically legal, continues to harass poor people. This is a drive them out of town law, folks. This is what the council needs, in essence, to say if it's going to say anything on December 8th. What it really needs to do, of course, is substitute for this entire piece of shit a complete repeal of the sleeping and blanket bans. And if they are gutless about it and are afraid that they somehow might get too much hostility from the merchants, then they can make it a sunsetting clause and turn it over to the voters in March when there's going to be a fluoride initiative on the ballot. However, that shouldn't be necessary. We're talking about a council, a new council where 4 votes can restore human rights and maybe, just maybe, save some human lives this winter. How about it, City Council? How about it? I think we cannot simply put this burden on the City Council alone, of course. We have to come there in record numbers on the 8th and show that the citizenry doesn't want to wait for extensive hearings to see which proposal best suits the police department and the business community and the nervous sections of the residents and the residents' community. That human rights are not something that a majority of people get to have a vote on any particular moment. That human rights are a matter of conscience and they're a matter of necessity and need. So I think if this point is brought home to the City Council, who knows what can happen on December 8th. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I am.
You are.
I'm calling from downtown Santa Cruz in front of where Crown Books used to be.
This
and
sounds
a whole
like
bunch of people camping inside.
Oh, cool. It's
not
about
camping,
time.
They're preparing for sleeping. They're not camping.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. So in other words, they're going to finally use that unused space.
I guess the city council decide to open up some of these empty buildings.
Excellent. I'm glad. I knew the city council would do something.
Winter shelter emergency does mean something, you know.
I'm pleased. I'm really pleased. Now, why don't you cut the bullshit and tell me what's really going on, Dave?
Well, I tell you what's really going on is that we have a toe in the door. We're on the agenda. So anybody that believes in civil rights for the poor, if you've ever been to City Hall, this would be the time. City Council meeting Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Be there.
And come early. Come early. Come early at 6:30 so you can get some hot soup.
Yeah, really. Yeah, let's have ourselves. And remember, civil disobedience starts with civil.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you get too civil there, David, we had a request. One of our callers, Roxanne, wanted to know what's happening with your fast. She's a bit concerned about your health.
Well, I'm going over these 6 points real carefully, and you know, they have to beef up a little bit more, or else, they have to put on some amendment to it. It's really not. It seems like they addressed, my minimum points in a very abstract form. I'm looking at point number four. That's the one where the three of them go off and do something about the calving ban. That kind of addresses a bit, my minimum requirements, but it's still, I think they need to have an amendment attached to that to give some kind of direction to it.
Well, unanimous sentiment of everybody calling in is that this is not only totally inadequate, but in fact, in many ways, counterproductive, because it gives the illusion of action without the substance.
Well, yeah, what it means is there'll be nothing done until April or May.
Mm-hmm. Well.
If at all.
Right.
So, yeah, they do have to attach something on it. I'm counting a green guy to put something, just to look at our platform and put something significant on attached to it. We have our toe in the door, and that could be a squash toe, or that could mean we get our foot in the door. So I think a presence is important. Obviously, the business are all going to be there, and we need not to scare them. We need to let them know that, hey, the fear is unreal, that this is a pet ordinance of the police, and that the business community shouldn't be used by the police to keep this broad stroke of a law that is totally unconstitutional in place.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you, of course, will be sleeping in Crown Books, right?
Well, it looks pretty inviting. Pretty inviting.
Wow. Well, we're coming down at 3 o'clock to do some tabling. You're invited to pack your bag over to New Leaf, as are any of our other listeners, to join us there. We're going to try to alert the citizenry.
There's a lot of citizenry down here, Robert.
Well, they've got money in their pockets, I guess.
Obviously, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Money in your pockets can't be a bad thing.
Sorry I missed your show.
Well, no, you didn't miss it. You're here. You're with us.
Okay.
And is there anything more you want to do as a member of the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban? Anything happening there? Any report on Don't Sleep Tonight Night?
No. I don't know what the results are. I don't know. I don't have any idea. I'm calling up again everybody that's on the volunteer list to get them to the City Council Tuesday night. So about half of them were called. I had called before, so I'm hoping to find out how many people called in, how many people participated. We can't get that straight answer from City Hall. Can't get a straight answer on that question. So we just know that we have had some impact and that we're continuing to do this, bop until we drop.
So not only is City Council staff refusing to let us know how many people called in against the sleeping ban in the last week or two, but they didn't even tell us about Don't Sleep Tonight Night.
No.
Well, I guess if any City Council members are listening, or maybe if any of you constituents are listening, when you call the City Council today at 429-3550 and then push the pound key, request that the City Council direct the staff to start tallying the reports.
Maybe we have to stop pushing the pound key and just demand that they take a message for us personally. Maybe that's the only way. We'll have to talk about that, strategize.
But in the meantime, keep pushing the pound key and
keep
calling in.
Keep getting that tallied up, because that does get to the council members, and that does have an effect on them. You're doing a good job, Robert. I don't know what to say. It's almost like the struggle has just begun.
Well, I guess the only question I would have for you now is so you're right now you're kind of easing off on the fast situation. What's happening?
Well, I'm going to review this really carefully, and I'm going to have to make the decision after I see what they finally pass.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Byers promised me 7 points. I see only six, so I want to know what that seventh point is.
The 7 points of light, I guess.
Out of there, that means there's 993 missing.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to maybe bring the candles ourselves to City Council on Tuesday
night. I'm begging everyone to please come. Please come. Be civil. Be to the point. Really educate these people. A lot of these people haven't heard these arguments. It'll be the first time for them. And then again, a lot have. There's going to be a lot of fear-mongering. We have to not feed that fear-mongering. We have to counterbalance it with real, intelligent, clear, simple statements. Sleeping is not camping. Sleeping is not a crime. We all know that. The law should know that. The police officer, it's cruel to force a police officer to have to enforce this law.
Do you anticipate a lot of business people coming to this
meeting? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. A large amount of business people will be coming. All the business associations have been alerted. Captain Byers talked to them all. So when I talked to the director of the Downtown Association, I got very clear from him that reactionary minority that's, of the Downtown Association, within the Downtown Association, will be speaking very strongly against this. We do need to show presence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be there, and I hope that 5,000 others will.
Hey, Phil just says hello.
Oh, hi there, Phil. Is that Phil Bear or no?
Feel free.
Oh, feel free.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you. I think I'd like to go on for another half hour, but I'm about to be nosed out of the studio by the little red hen here.
Okay. Take care, Robert.
Bye-bye.
And this brings us to the end of Bathrob Spears Broadsides after this quick call.
Hi there. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, but not in Santa Cruz. Mayor Byers has a sleeping band, she'll sight you if you snooze. And if you're warm beneath your quilt, your blankets you shall lose. Bad tidings, not comfort or joy, comfort or joy. Bad tidings, not comfort or joy.
Wow. Applause, applause. Very good. I think that certainly qualifies as an entry in our Santa Cruz Christmas Carols contest. Thank you very much, caller. I've got to, because I'm about to leave.
And I guess you left too. But listen, callers, come on down to the New Leaf, and I'll be down there at 3 doing some tabling. I'll be down at the City Council at 6:30 on Tuesday. In the meantime, call in the City Council at 429-3550 and listen to the little red hen who may let me get in maybe a verse or two of this goodbye song. Thanks for being with us. Thursday at 6, you'll begin to return and hear more of the beloved Bathrob Spears Broadsides.